Welcome back to KSCJ Radio, 1360 AM, 94.9 FM in Sioux City, Iowa. I'm Brian Vikalskis, and this is Having Read That, conversations with authors about their books.
And joining us once again is Lisa Scottolini. She is the number one best-selling author of the brand new novel, What Happened to the Bennetts? The book is available everywhere. It's a fantastic thriller to read. And Lisa, this is I love this novel because the first half of the novel was really a closed universe. The second half was a traditional thriller. You put it all together. Can you kind of just pitch it for us? Because there's a lot in here going on, and I don't want to give anything away.
Oh, Brian, you're so nice, and it's always great to speak with you. Yeah, I mean, I really wanted to write a thriller for our times. You know, we have so much upheaval and change, and I sort of wanted to go back to what is a family, and how do you behave, and how do you survive really difficult times. And so what happens is, really quick, it's a very normal family. They're driving along. One night they're carjacked, and it goes horribly, horribly wrong. And they find themselves, and I'm not giving anything away, because I work too hard on these twists to give them away. But basically, they find themselves in the witness protection program. And they realize that they have to navigate their way out of it and survive. Because it's a program in history was designed to protect criminals who were turning coat on other criminals. But it wasn't designed for a normal family that's all connected up and has Facebook and Snapchat and every other thing, and to cut everything off and you know, live completely on your own under threat of lethal jeopardy. And they have to figure a way out of it by pulling together.
Well, the dad, Jason, is a court reporter, a certified court reporter, which means he's not working for a judge. He's doing depositions and things like that. To make this story work, it helped to have somebody who's not directly involved in the legal profession, but yet is involved in a tangential sort of way. And so I don't think I've ever read a thriller where the court reporter was a main character. What kind of challenges did that bring for you to get an idea of what a court reporter's life is like?
Oh, you're such a... That's so great that you bring that out, because I was a lawyer and I've been an adjunct law professor, and you spend 5 minutes in the law, you know there's lawyers, but I've also been a paralegal. There's legal secretaries, there's court reporters, there's bailiffs, there's sheriffs. There's a lot of people that are associated with legal jobs and in legal jobs that know an awful lot of law and are really, really people that deserve, honestly, a spotlight. And he's an elite court reporter, and so good that he was, in fact, sent to Guantanamo to transcribe hearings there, like, which really did happen. There was a very elite corps that did that. And I wanted to look at that kind of person because I think so many of us, everybody really, is interested in questions of justice. And that doesn't require a law degree. That just requires a sense of right and wrong. And now we're all going to disagree about what's right and what's wrong, but in the main, we hope we coalesce around some fundamental concept of right and wrong, and moral and immoral, and illegal and legal. And so I really wanted to explore that kind of a character who looks tangential, but really, really isn't. It's just a way to say, you know, don't ignore anybody. Everybody deserves respect, and everybody has something to offer, and he really does. He has to step into who he is as a hero, really, in What Happened to the Bennetts.
The idea of him being really put into a situation where he's out of his element in a witness protection program, they call it WITSEC, when you have a program like that that's designed for criminals, that's not designed for God-fearing, law-abiding citizens, when you do research on that, that's got to be a different type of a thing, because you're really you're getting into a situation that what if? It's not like they have a whole lot of examples of a family that's gone through that, and so this took not only research but a lot of creativity on your part, right?
Well, you're very kind to say that. I did do the research too, because I've written like 33 novels in 33 years, about amazing, because I'm only 16, but in any event, and so I have developed a lot of contacts within the FBI, and I did speak to someone who really had run the WITSEC program, actually, not at the top level, but certainly at right underneath that. And so I had really good research on the subject. And it has become an interesting sort of problem, which is how can WITSEC accommodate these people? Because we do need people to come forward and speak up. God knows you see that every day. You know, when you start, you really want to encourage that, and you have to protect those people. But it becomes harder and harder for them to step forward at a really enormous personal cost. And so I really wanted to examine, all of my books are about justice and family, And so, but it's not like in the, it's not necessarily in a courtroom context. It's much more like, how does law impact you? How does it hurt you? How does it help you? How does it help people around you? Does it help your family or hurt it? And everybody, I think, has opinions about that, or at least, you know, when you really start to look at your own life, you see, oh, how does this law affect me? And that's what's happening, because I think we've learned to a certain extent that the law, it doesn't, no one's coming. Like, you know, it's not, you can't rely on the institutions in the way that we used to be able to. And we have a much more modern, complected view of what courts do and law does and police do, and we have a lot of, there's a lot of stirring up about that and foment about it. And I really sort of wanted to try to look at the individual's role and how we can all persevere and survive and really accomplish justice on our own.
Jason, at one point in the story, gets to the point where he's kind of distraught about the law and makes an observation that I'd never heard exactly put into words before, something to the effect of that he's the only one in the legal profession who tells the truth, because while everyone else is lying, lawyers, witnesses, whatever, he writes down all those lies and he swears to that he has written them down accurately. That sounds like something that maybe an anecdotal thing that somebody had heard in the past, because it's just too great of a quote to have just come from some type of work of fiction. Is that something that you had heard over the years?
Oh, you're so nice to point that out. I worked so hard on that sentence. No, I made that up. I made that up, Brian. I made it up. Like they say in Birdcage. Because, listen, I've taken depositions. I'm very friendly with a lot of court reporters. And you know when someone's lying. And I thought, this is such an interesting layer. Because I love, even though in any thriller, at least one of mine, and I think it's true of so many authors today, we're really writing for an audience that's really pretty smart. You know, I've been writing for 30 years. People have grown much more sophisticated about the law, legal concepts, what an oath means, when lawyers lie, when they don't, when witnesses lie, when they don't. What is truth in certain contexts? And it was such an interesting layered point to me that when you look at who takes oaths during any deposition. And what the court reporter does is the court reporter has to swear that what he heard is true and correct, whether or not he believes it was. And that is a really interesting thing. His role is a lot like the role of all of us. You know, we can't always all be in the arena, but he is watching it, and certainly smart, as people are, and watch events and go, this is what I think. Unfortunately, I have to keep it to myself. But nobody, these liars aren't fooling anybody. And he that comes down to the very, very fine point when he has to swear that what he heard is true and correct. Not that what they said is true and correct, but that he recorded it correctly. It's a very unique position that a court reporter is in, and he has a court reporting business, and he feels the weight of that responsibility at the same time that he feels that it allows room for that irony and doubt about what justice is.
I'm chatting with Lisa Scottolini about her brand new thriller, What Happened to the Bennetts? It's a novel available everywhere. Lisa's a number one best-selling author. You know, Lisa, that whole thought about what court reporters writing down the lies, it dovetails with something I've noticed over the years, is that people go to testify and they swear to tell the whole truth. I don't think anybody's even, I mean, the whole truth's a pretty tall order, isn't it? You know this from taking depositions. I would think that just getting the basics down is probably all you can ask of any human being, right?
That's probably true. And the whole truth, and it's the whole truth from whose perspective? You know, you go back to that great Truman quote where someone says, he said something like, I didn't give him hell. I just told the truth and they thought it was hell. You know, what is the truth from anyone's perspective right now? Uncontroversial, I think, opinion. We watched Ukraine, and you know, they're being invaded. They're being destroyed by Putin. But people in Russia don't know that. And so what is the truth is writ large. And we all have different opinions about it based on an array of factors, what news we consume, what we read, what we say to each other, what we say to ourselves. So I really love that notion of what is the truth, because there are different truths in this novel. And Jason has to find out what's really, really the truth at enormous personal cost. And his family, too. His wife, and even her mother. When you enter WITSEC, you leave everything behind, I was astonished to sort of find, I mean, we've all had a pandemic experience where we're in isolation. I'm still pretty locked down. But can you imagine if you couldn't be, you couldn't be online even? You can't communicate with anyone at all, even your own mom? That is really, really a difficult, difficult situation. But I wanted to look at how they get themselves through.
You also mentioned oaths, and I always think it's funny. Everybody, every official from the President of the United States on down to the city dog catcher, whatever, takes an oath to uphold the Constitution of the United States and their particular state that they live in. Once in a while, I randomly ask these people, they've never read the Constitution of the United States or the state that they live in, and so just their very oath to take the office in which they're supposed to tell the truth, that's even a lie because they have no idea what they're swearing to uphold.
You're right about that. You're absolutely right about that. I will say to you that I have read both those things. And as a state law clerk and a federal law clerk, I know a lot about the Pennsylvania state constitution. But it was very interesting because I saw yesterday someone on television, she's a young woman in the square in Moscow, and she was reading the Russian constitution to a Russian soldier. And I thought that was so moving. And I think you're so right to point it out. What is the founding document? Ours is a beautiful, beautiful thing. And the great thing about our constitution is anybody can read it. I used to have a neighbor who used to read it every July 4th at his party. He would just stand up and read the Bill of Rights. And you, when you read them, you see what an incredible country this is and how our freedoms are enshrined and how lucky we are. You know, we fight for them every day, and we have to watch out so that there's incursion at the borders and at their contours. You know, how do we keep our right of free speech? How do we keep our right of freedom of religion? How do we keep these rights and uphold them? But that we got lucky enough to be born into a country where we have them, and people are dying for them everywhere. I mean, it's, I feel very lucky. I feel very lucky every day to wake up in this country.
Well, that sounds like a hell of a 4th of July party, you know.
It really is. It's actually wonderful. And you know what? It's so weird. This might be very geeky. But when you hear the Bill of Rights read on 4th of July, now maybe if you had a beer or two, you start weeping. I swear to God, I cry like every year. He puts on the tri-corner hat and everything. It's just great.
One other thing before I let you go. I got to ask this Babysitter's Club. It's a segment of the FBI that protects the people in WITSEC. It sounds like just a boring job, and which, I mean, let's face it, a lot of the law enforcement jobs outside of thriller books are boring, but this one sounds particularly boring. Is when you did your research, did you find that that's a particularly boring job for just to babysit people who are in this program?
Well, I gave them the name of the Babysitter's Club because I thought, oh, that sounds funny, and that's the kind of thing that they would do. But I did talk to somebody. He didn't find it boring. I think, you know what, I think when it's, look, here's a good analogy. Whenever you take care of something of somebody else's, for example, drive somebody else's car, you think, I drive a car every day. This is not hard. This should be boring. But if I'm driving somebody else's car, I'm tense the whole time. I don't want anything to happen to someone else's car. That's just an analogy I thought of. I mean, I think it's how I felt when I spoke to this person. That even though it sounds ironic, but it isn't law enforcement, I give him so much credit. He felt acutely every minute the responsibility, the gravity of the responsibility of taking care of this person who stepped forward to do the right thing at great personal cost and put his life in the hands of his agent. If that's your responsibility, I don't think there's ever a boring moment. I mean, they take it very, very seriously, and this person I spoke to really took it very seriously. So it might be the kind of thing that people derogate outside of it, which is why I gave the name the Babysitter's Club. It might feel like that to outsiders, but when you're inside it, you know otherwise.
Wow, this thriller I just kept reading and reading because I didn't want to put it down. I read it in one sitting. The book is What Happened to the Bennetts. It is a brand new novel. It's a thriller from Lisa Scottolini, the number one best-selling author. Lisa, just another fantastic novel, and I thank you for joining us again to talk about it.
Brian, thank you again for your great questions and for reading the book. That's just very, very kind of you, and I always love speaking with you.
This has been Having Read That on KSCJ Radio. I'm Brian Vakulskas. Check out all of our episodes on our website, kscj.com, and subscribe to our iTunes podcasts. Thanks to music historian Molly Jolly and segment producer John Weisler. We will be back next time.